Fagin is desperate to recover Oliver, lost by Bill Sykes during an attempted burglary. And Sykes's girl Nancy has discovered why. Fagin has struck a bargain with the dark stranger Mr. Monks, who is none other than Oliver's half-brother, and who is bent upon denying Oliver his inheritance by enmeshing him in the underworld and destroying all proof of his identity. Nancy has revealed this plot to Oliver's guardian, Mr. Brownlow, in a secret meeting on London Bridge. But the artful Dodger has overheard their conversation and reported Nancy's betrayal to Bill Sykes. Unaware of this, Nancy has now returned to Sykes's den.
Oh, Bill. You're up.
I've been walking for an age, ain't I?
Sun's nearly up. I'll draw the curtain.
Let it be. There's light enough for what I've got to do.
Bill? Why do you look at me like that? Bill! Tell me what I've done.
Well, you know, you sea devil. You was watched tonight. Every word you said was heard.
Then spare my life, for God's sake, as I've spared yours tonight. A lady and gent I saw tonight offered me an escape. A home abroad. Let's both go and leave this dreadful place.
God have mercy upon me. Give it here. I'm coming. So much blood. Keep out of it, Bullseye. Don't look at you. There's blood on your blasted feet. Come on. Come out of here. We're going to go.
I will not come in.
I would advise the contrary.
By what authority am I kidnapped in the street?
By mine, Mr. Munch. These men are indemnified by me. If you complain of being deprived of your liberty, throw yourself for protection on the law. I will appeal to the law, too. The choice is yours. If you wish me to prefer my charges publicly and consign you to a punishment the extent of which, although I can with a shudder foresee, I cannot control, then by all means leave this house. But if you appeal to my forbearance and the mercy of those you have deeply injured, seat yourself in that chair. It has waited for you 2 whole days. You will be prompt. A word for me, and the alternative has gone forever.
Who are you, sir?
My name is Brownlow, Mr. Monks, and I am your father's oldest friend.
Stones, eh? Out in a country like Hendon, Hatfield. Out of people's way. Find a public house, eh? Get some meat and drink.
And they calls it home brewed ale!
Now then, what have you got?
Bullseye. Here, boy.
Well, now, let's see. I've got holes, straw, razors, washballs.
What be that stuff? Go to eat, Harry.
Now, this is the infallible and invaluable composition for removing all sorts of stain, rust, dirt, mildew, spick, speck, spot, or spatter from silk, satin, crepe, or wool. Wine stains, fruit stains, beer stains, blood stains. Now, here is a stain upon this gentleman's hat that I'll take clean out before he can order me a pint of ale. Now, whether it be a wine stain, fruit stain, beer stain, or blood stain...
Burn this body, I'll have your eyes at. Now, give me that hat!
This is pretty treatment, Mr. Brownlow, from my father's oldest friend.
It was because I was your father's oldest friend, Mr. Monks, that I moved to treat you gently enough. But let us call you by your proper name henceforth, unworthy though you are to bear it. Edward Leaford.
What do you want with me?
Evening, George. Where is your thing?
Here, Bullseye.
Ain't you got your post bag ready?
What? Come on, look alive, your bag went ready the night before last. This won't do, you know.
The stagecoach. Over here, Bullseye.
Anything new up in town, Ben?
No, nothing I know, Tom. Corn's up a little.
Oh, but yes, I heard talk of a murder, too, down Spitalfields way.
Here we go.
Yes? Dreadful murder it was. Man or a woman?
A woman.
Not news of the murderer.
Oh, he's gone to Birmingham, they say. But they'll have him yet. By tomorrow night, there'll be a cry all through the country.
Now, what about that bag?
Oh, it's coming.
Ah, so the young woman of property that's going to take a fancy to me, but I don't know where.
Here we go, Bullseye. What'll we do? London. Back to London. Well, they'll never expect them to be there after this country's sent. Damn it, I'll risk it.
You have a brother, have you not? The whisper of whose name in your ear when I came behind you in the street was in itself almost enough to make you accompany me hither in wonder and alarm.
Why do you talk to me of brothers? You know I was an only child.
I know that of the wretched marriage to which family pride and ambition forced your unhappy father when a mere boy, you were the sole issue.
The wretched marriage ended with my parents' separation. What of that?
Within a year of that separation, your father became the object of the first true ardent passion of a guileless girl.
No. No, my father went to Italy. He died in Rome.
Before he went abroad, he came to me. Worn by anxiety and remorse almost to a shadow, he told me all and confided to me his full intentions. He died in Rome, yes, but he left a will, did he not? And I know what it contained. A reference to a child likely to be the result of this sad connection, which child was born. There existed proof of his birth and parentage.
That proof, a locket, was destroyed by you. And now, in your own words to your accomplice, the Jew, the only proof of the boy's identity lies at the bottom of the river.
How can you know this?
Every word that has passed between you and that detested villain is known to me. Shadows on the wall have caught your whispers and brought them to my ear. But it has cost the life of one worth a million such as you. Murder has been done, no. To which you are morally, if not really, a party.
No. No, no, I know nothing of that. I thought it was a common quarrel.
The girl Nancy was killed because she had disclosed some of your secrets. Now, will you disclose the rest?
Yes. Yes, I will.
You must do more. Let me see the will and carry its provisions into execution so far as your brother is concerned, and then go where you please. In this world, you need meet no more.
Yeah, but you, though, Bullseye. But you. They'll know you're with me. Man and dog together. Dog with black patch round one eye. That's what you might call a poser, Bullseye. But it'll be quick. This here stone's a fair size. The river's deep. Come here, boy. Hear me call. Come here. I'm just going to... Why? Bullseye! Come back here!
Doctor! Doctor, they've got Fagin.
I know it.
The police have got Fagin. What are we going to do? We can't stay here no more.
Bullseye and Sykes. We warned him not to.
He split on Fagin.
He killed Nancy.
Hey?
They found her body and raised a hue and cry. The whole town went balmy and went hunting in a pack.
Sykes killed Nancy. What for?
She peached on a lot of us.
Oh, God. Where is he now?
Oh, how should I know, Charlie? They're looking for him everywhere. £100 reward. They ain't found him, but they found Fagin. Oh, God in heaven, what a smash!
Run! The man will be taken. He will be taken tonight.
The murderer?
William Sykes. His dog has been seen lurking about some old haunt, and there seems little doubt that his master is there, or will be, under cover of darkness. Spies are everywhere. I've spoken to the men who are charged with his capture, and they tell me he cannot escape. A reward of £100 is proclaimed by the government tonight.
I will give 50 more, and proclaim it with my own lips upon the spot. Father!
I sat on the roof and watched them take Fagin. You should have heard the people scream at him. The officers fought like devils to hold him back, or they'd have torn him to pieces.
Oh.
I can see him now. The blood on his hair and beard, and the women swearing they tear his heart out.
Oh, God help us!
Here. It's Bullseye. How did he get here?
Alone. 3 hours ago. Covered in mud. Lame.
Why'd he come here without Sykes? Here. He can't have done away with himself, can he? What do you think?
If he had, Bullseye'd want to lead us to where he did it. No. I think he's got out of the country and left the dog behind. He must have given him the slip somehow. Or he wouldn't be so...
What's that?
You wasn't following it, was you, Charlie?
No, no. Well, who is it then? How should I know?
Yeah. It could be.
Who? Sykes. God almighty. What are we going to do?
We'll have to let him in.
No chance.
Oh, go on. It'll be the worst for us if we don't.
Oh. Charlie, go on.
Yeah.
What you got there?
A knife.
You're not going to
get
it.
Just go on. Open up.
T
Tonight's paper says that Fagin's been took. Is it true or a lie?
It's true.
Damn you all! There's nothing to say to me!
Is it the body? Is it buried? It's got to be. What do they leave such ugly things above ground for? I keep seeing her eyes. Her eyes staring at me. There! There! As fresh as blood! Where are you going?
Let me go into the next room.
Charlie, don't you know me?
Don't you come near me! You monster! Dodger, I'm not afraid of him. If they come here after him, I'll give him up, I will. I'd give him up if he was to be born alive. Murderer! Murderer, down with him! Murderer! Help! Help!
Help! Help! Listen!
Tell a man who takes
them alive. They
come
in.
Open the door in the king's yard.
He's here.
Break down the door.
Yeah.
Bring it down.
They'll
never open it.
Charlie.
Give me a rope. I'm climbing over the roof. Give me a rope or I'll murder two more.
It was close by Rotherhithe, where the buildings by the Thames are dirtiest and the vessels on the river blackest with the dust of colliers. It's the filthiest, the strangest of the many hidden quarters of London, wholly unknown even by name to the great mass of its inhabitants.
That is where you found Sykes?
To reach it, we had to penetrate a maze of close, narrow, muddy streets, thronged by the roughest and poorest of waterside people. Ballast heavers, coal whippers, brazen women, ragged children. The cheapest provisions are heaped in the shops, the coarsest apparel. The house fronts totter. Chimneys, half crushed, hesitate to fall. But there was worse beyond.
Worse, Brownlow?
Oh, yes. We found Sykes on Jacob's Island. It's surrounded by a muddy creek called Folly Ditch, which is filled at high water by opening sluices from the Thames. You can see the inhabitants lowering buckets and pails from their back windows to haul the water up. I say windows, they are windows no more. And the doors are falling into the streets. The chimneys are blackened, but they yield no smoke.
But, sir, I know Jacob's Island is a thriving place. My father used its walls.
Oh, yes, Grimwig, it was thriving indeed in our father's day. But the fluctuations of trade have been allowed to destroy it. And now it's quite desolate. The houses have no owners. They are broken open, entered only by those who have the courage. And there they live. And there they die.
And Sykes, tell me, Brownlow, what happened?
Not in front of Oliver.
No. Go on, sir. I'd like to know.
Don't move, you two.
He's gone out the window. He's going over the tiles.
Right. Hold these two and follow me.
He's got him now. Come on. Hang him.
Come if you watch the front.
He had clambered through a window and onto the roof. The crowd was going wild. The houses on the other side of the ditch had been entered by the mob. There were tears and tears of faces at every window.
Cornish guy is stuck on the road!
50 pounds, I say, to the man who takes him alive!
The tide's well up. I'll cheat you yet.
He seemed to be planning to climb down into Folly Ditch. He set his foot against a chimney stack, fastened one end of a rope around it, and with the other made a strong running noose. In almost a second, he would let himself down by the cord to within a few feet of the mud,
and had his knife ready in his hand to cut it then and run.
Here goes.
He put the loop over his head, previous to slipping it beneath his armpit. And then suddenly he stopped and looked behind him on the roof.
No! No!
And threw his arms above his head as though in terror.
Those eyes again! Nancy! Nancy! Let me be!
He staggered as if struck by lightning, lost his balance, and tumbled over the parapet. The noose was on his neck. It ran up with his weight, tight as a bowstring and swift as the arrow at speed. He fell for 35 feet. Then there was a sudden jerk, a terrific convulsion of the limbs, and there he hung.
My word.
And there was a dog. What? A dog. It had lain concealed till now, but it began running back and forth on the parapet with a dismal howl, and collecting itself for a spring, jumped for the dead man's shoulders. But it missed its aim. It fell into the ditch, turning completely over as it went, and striking its head on a stone, dashed out its brains.
This is it. Here. You're not taking the young gentleman in the cell, are you, sir? Not a sight for children.
Indeed it isn't, but he's very much involved in my business with this now.
What's that noise?
They're preparing the gallows. This is the way you'll go in the morning. That's the door he'll go out at. He's hanging. Right, here you are.
Good boy, Charlie. Well done. Oliver, too. Oliver, too. Quite a gentleman now, quite a... Take that boy away to bed!
Don't be alarmed.
Take him away to bed! You hear me? He has been the... somehow... the cause of all this. Now, Max. Max's throat, Bill. Never mind, Nancy. Max's throat as deep as you can cut.
Right in.
That's me. An old man, my lord. A very old, old man.
Here, someone wants to see you. Ask you some questions, I suppose. Fagin. Fagin, are you a man?
Watch out, be one much longer. Strike them all dead. What right have they to put your man?
Get back in your place. Now, sir, tell him what you want. Quick, please. He's growing worse as time gets on.
I've seen him die. Through me. Through me. Can't count him. I joked, too. Seen them die with prayers on their lips. What a wretched noise as the drop goes down. And how suddenly they change from strong living men to dangling heaps of clothes.
Figure.
It's so dark. Why don't they bring light? Light!
Fagin. Fagin, listen to me. You have some papers which were placed in your hands for safekeeping by a man calling himself Monks.
Papers? What papers?
You know very well. It's a will. A will bequeathing to Oliver here all his father's fortune. Money which otherwise would go to his half-brother Monks if Oliver died. Or if Oliver ever fell foul of the law. You know that, don't you? That's why Monks wanted you to make Oliver a thief, isn't it? That's why Monks were so desperate to destroy the locket, the only proof of Oliver's identity. You know all this. So, where are those papers?
Why should you care? What will you gain? Tell me that.
Come on.
Now, tell me. Watch him, Oliver. He'll cheat you. He'll turn the money to his own account. They're all the same. Why should he work so hard in your behalf?
I care because he is my grandson.
Sir?
I'd have told you in a happier place than this, Oliver. But it's true.
You remember the picture that you loved so much, the picture of the lady who looked so much like you? That sweet young woman was your mother and my daughter. So, now you know, Fagin. Now, where are those papers for my grandson?
It's all a lie. I haven't one. Not one.
For the love of God, don't say that now. Upon the very verge of death, tell me where they are. You know that Sykes is dead, your boys will be transported, the monks has confessed. There's no hope of further gain. Where are those papers?
Oliver, here, look. Let me whisper to you.
No, I don't
think so. I'm not afraid, sir.
Oh, very well.
The papers are in a canvas bag, in a hole. To lead the way up the chimney in the top front room. I want to talk to you, Oliver.
Right, right. Let's say a prayer. Say just one. Kneel down with me and we'll...
You can help me, Oliver. You can help me escape. I'll slip away. And you can say I've gone to sleep. They'll believe you. You can get me out if you hide me. Easy as pie. Look, look, let's go. Now, now.
Oh, God, forgive him.
Through the door, through the door. If I shake as we pass the gallows, don't mind me. Just hurry on. Now, now, now.
Have you nothing else to ask him, sir?
No. If I thought we could recall him to his senses...
Nothing will do that, sir. You better leave him.
Very well. Oliver, come on.
Don't leave me! Don't leave me with these butchers!
He told you where the papers are?
Yes, sir.
Oh, thank God. You're a rich young man, Oliver. Let's go home.
Yes, sir.
Don't leave me, Oliver! You know what it is to go to prison!
In the final episode of Oliver Twist by Charles Dickens, Sykes was Tim McInerney, Fagin John Grillo, Brownlow Peter Jeffrey, and Oliver Edward Long. Monks was Kim Wall, the Dodger Richard Pierce, Charlie Paul Ryan, and Grimwig Brett Usher. Other parts were played by Jonathan Wyatt, Terry Pearson, and David Holt. The music was composed and played by John Kirkpatrick with cellist Catherine Locke. Oliver Twist was dramatised and directed at Pebble Mill by Nigel Bryant.